Your speaker is Winfred Claiborne of Fayetteville, Tennessee.
Thank you very much. Through my more than 50 years of preaching the gospel, it has been my responsibility to work to reconcile warring parties. Most of those warring parties were married people who were experiencing severe problems of some sort. They needed someone to sit down with them and help them resolve their difficulties. I wish I could say I had been 100% successful, but that would not be true. I have also sought to help reconcile differences between parties within churches. I remember one case in particular. Some people in the congregation had accused a sister of having committed adultery. Both sides asked me to serve as a moderator in the case. To make a long story short, they were able to restore peace and tranquility to the congregation. Reconciliation has two facets for human beings. We desperately need to be reconciled to God, and we need to be reconciled to each other. Before we show how that is effected, let us define the word reconciliation. Webster's New Collegiate Dictionary defines the word to mean restoring harmony, to cause to be friendly. However, we are not examining an English word. The Greek apokatalasso means to change or to exchange. And what is changed or exchanged? Paul explains in Ephesians 2. Both Jews and Gentiles were separated from God and from each other. Through Christ's death on the cross, God made it possible for all men to be reconciled to God and to each other. These words from Ephesians 2 are very powerful and plain. But now in Christ Jesus, you who sometimes were afar off, that is Gentiles, are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who has made both Jews and Gentiles one, and has broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances. For to make in himself of the two, Jew and Gentile, one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you who are afar off, Gentile, and to them who were nigh, Jews. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Ephesians 2, 13-18. The Colossian letter teaches the same great truth. And, having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. Colossians 1, 20. These passages from Ephesians and Colossians teach some very vital lessons for people in every age. I shall summarize these powerful teachings. All men, Jews and Gentiles, were enemies of God because they had disobeyed his law. They were in danger of being lost eternally. There was nothing they could do without God's intervention. As Paul said, they were without Christ, having no hope and without God in the world. Ephesians 2, 12. These words applied specifically to the Gentiles. But the Jews were lost too if they did not obey the gospel of Christ. God in his infinite grace sent Jesus Christ into the world to die on the cross that all men could be reconciled unto him. Our salvation was his decision, his choice. The plan by which he would save the world was developed and revealed by his grace, not because of any inherent goodness in men. God did not want enmity between himself and men, and between Jews and Gentiles to continue. Through the blood of the cross, those who believe and obey the gospel can be reconciled. My friends, we thank you for listening. May God continue to bless you.